Hey, CJ Boat here from Small Screen Spoiler Show and the Geek.io Show, here to tell you about my brand new album, The Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos. Do you like post-apocalyptic fantasy novels? Then this is something for you. In this world, I spin a tale of fantastic creatures, vengeful gods, and even a cyborg dragon. Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos tells an engrossing story set in a rich and fleshed-out universe, and it deserves a place on your reading list. Head on over to geek-io.net/Athelor and pre-order the novel now for just $4.99. That is geek-io.net/athalor.
GLS, G to the L to the S. This is Generic Live Show, episode number 21, recorded. Actually, I didn't have the number in the script here. Why am I saying that? This is GLS for the 8th of July, 2015. I'm Dale Campbell, delivering your weekly dose of genericness from around Australia and the world. I do apologize for the audio quality. We've had some technical difficulties before the show. That's because I'm a little soft and I'm a little T-spout short and spout. Here is my handle. Here is my cup. We've got a jam-packed episode for you today, so we're going to waste a little to no time at all and to go straight on to the headlines.
On to the news!
That's right, we're on to the news. Public opinion research company Ray Morgan published the results of a survey yesterday which suggested that US streaming video on demand service Netflix, had, in the 2 months following its Australian launch, garnered over 10 times the audience of its nearest streaming rival. The Australian video streaming market has exploded in 2015 with several high-profile launches and joint ventures competing for the content-hungry consumer-based. While Netflix commended an enormous amount of brand recognition and a grey market subscriber base even before the official launch earlier this year, it could really outstrip its closest competitor by that much. We'll have that story after the headlines. Changing pace now, Stephen Boyles, an assistant professor of transportation engineering at the University of Texas, has published an article saying that our modern safer roads and safer cars, the maximum speed limit should be raised. With the current Draycon speed limits on big modern highways are actually making things worse, he argues. Quote, the difference in speed is actually more dangerous than anyone were driving at faster speed. We've all felt the frustration of being behind slow drivers and the annoyance at aggressive drivers weaving through traffic. Both these situations are dangerous and make traffic worse, end quote. One idea he recommended was backed up by research from the U.S. Federal Highway Administration, is that speed limits should be reduced to 85th percentile of traffic speed. That means only 15% of cars should be driving faster than the speed limit. Any faster than that, the speed limit should be raised. It's not only direct safety on highways, Professor Boyle believes will be improved. He adds the important speed limits like school zones and those in the CBD would be respected more if highway speeds had more credibility. And highways... Anyway, that is a debate for another time. We've got a jam-packed show, so we can't really comment too much on all of this. A new ratings tool, because Australia's, you know, classification gate continues. Classification gate of 1996 continues, has led to more video games than ever before being refused classification. Yeah, shocker there. But advocates say that this is just a fraction of the massive list of 150,000 games now classified for the first time. As of the 1st of July, so as of last week, funny how that works, Australia will be trialling a new automated classification system from the International Age Rating Correlation, allowing game publishers to complete a questionnaire on game content in order to have their titles classified. In advance of the official launch of the pilot program, the government's classification body, the Australian Classification, has classified a large back catalogue of 150,000 games, of which 219 refused classification, according to figures released June 23rd. That figure is four times the amount of games refused classification 20 years ago in 1994, all in the space of a few months. However, Australian Classification says that the number of games refused classification is a proportion of all games reviewed has stayed roughly the same, with refused games accounting for under 0.5% of all titles. IGEA CEO Ron Curry said that despite the increase, the figures point towards the system's success. Quote, whilst people may jump slightly and say that there's a lot of games refused classifications, it might give a bit of comfort that there's consistency in the number of being refused. We haven't seen a big variance, unquote, said Curry. You know, just because you do something a lot doesn't make it better or doesn't make it worse. It doesn't make it worse. And just to clarify, Sam Ferguson asks if I would put pillows up my shirt. I'm not sure what that is referring to, but sure, I'll put pillows up my shirt. Sure. I have no idea if that's a euphemism for something, or I don't understand, but sure, I can put pillows up my shirt. Speaking of putting pillows up your shirts, when someone says Logitech, you don't think of pillows. But the first thing that does pop into your mind is computer mice. And keyboards and other peripherals. Yeah, no. Well, the company's likely attempting to look more vogue, especially to the younger crowd, because it's reinventing itself with a new logo and overall more colourful designs. It's also launching a brand new label for its latest categories. It's called Logi. Unfortunately, the company hasn't revealed any more details behind the Logi name, as it shouldn't, but sure, you'll be seeing products under the new label soon enough. Any brand that could benefit from having a distinct personality, just look at Apple and how easy it is to identify its products. So it's easy to see why Logitech wants to do something more memorable. Well, you know. Logi, though? Logi, okay. Think of it, and finally in the headlines, think of it as the most comfortable, relaxing place you've ever been. No matter where on the earth you might have been, it could have begun to compare with the relaxing hydro hammock must be. Aww. People love lounging in hammocks, and people like soaking in hot tubs. Finally, you can have the two become one. The two can become one. Available in both single and double occupant versions, the hydro hammock, made for watertight and extremely resilient synthetic fabric that's designed to hold weight of 190 litres of water plus two adults. So it's quite a large hammock. So you'll need to find a pair of extremely large and strong trees to put it up between. Or some place where you can sit anchors on the side and tie it around there. The creators of Hydro Hammock had turned to Kickstarter, of course, to fund the production and with a crowdfunding campaign in order to raise 50,000 Australian US dollars. So there's unusual risks of backing a crowdfunded project to take into account here, but, you know, $50,000. It can, you know, $50,000 is quite a hefty price tag to pay for, you know, for a hydro bath. I'm just putting that out there. You know, you kind of, you have to put, that's an investment. You know, you kind of have to, you might as well just buy the two separately. Yeah, strange. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the headlines for this week. The headlines of the week. Alrighty, so let's tell you about how you can support this show. Let's take a quick little break. This show, you can support it at geek-io.net/support. Affiliates of the Geek.io network, and they have graced us with a place where you can support us as well. Patreon.com/geek.io. Give as much as you can. I know things are a little tight as well. And I wanna pimp something else, if I may. And I have to find it. It's on Bookface, so it won't be 2 seconds. It's a local community radio station that is looking to update its towers as well. And I really, really want to give it a pimp, and I can't seem to find it. Ah, here we go. It's at gofundme.com/build_a_tower. That's gofundme.com/build_a_tower. A local community radio station is trying to get this tower fixed after some heavy storm damage was done to it earlier this year, and they've wanted to get some of the upgrades to it done. So they're not affiliated with the show, but it's a pretty cool cause. So we're going to push out good causes. This show and community radio, two things that go hand in hand. Let's move on. Competitors of Netflix. The title of this: Competitors of Netflix overinflate subscriber numbers to compete, but Ray Morgan busts these numbers. Busts these numbers like a nut. Hang on, I'm gonna take a drink. Now I've taken a drink, he can tell you more. Officially, the Ray Morgan survey of 2,088 people aged 14 and above concluded that in April, 766,000 Australians in 296,000 homes were subscribed to Netflix. By May, this had grown to 1.039 million in 408 households. So it cracked the million code in May. Now, of course, let's keep going here. Let's keep digging. According to Ray Morgan's May data set, Netflix's closest rival is Presto, with about 97,000, followed by Stan, with 91,000, both owned by the Nine Network here in Australia. QuickFlix, the first streaming service, with 43,000, and Foxtel Play at 40,000 streamers. Excuse me. It's worth noting that Roy Morgan uses subscribers to mean all viewers across its subscribing households. So there's that. So it's really having a revenue base of 408 households, but it's got 1 million or so viewers. Let's recap the major players. So Presto was an offshoot of Foxtel, which launched on March 13th, 2014 with its movie-only service. Its TV service, which hasn't done that great, was a joint venture between Seven West Media and Foxtel. Sorry, I misspoke. Both of which, though, I'll tell that anecdote after the fact here, but I found something a little bit interesting. So Stan was another joint venture between publisher Fairfax and the Nine Network, and it began operating on Australia Day here, January 26th, 2015. Foxtel Play was July 30th, 2015, and Quickflix the first one in 2011. If accurate, if this is all accurate, by the way, let's put the figures in perspective. So it would mean it would take Presto 14 months to reach the 100,000 subscriber mark. It took Netflix 10 times that number in just 2 months. And Stan nearly equaled it in 4 months. Quickflix, on the other hand, has taken 4 years to reach its base with over 40,000, and Foxtel Play in under 24 months. Mind you, I just want to say that this is also a survey of 2,000 people as well, so take that for what you will. So, what is with all of this? So here we go. What's the point of this? Rubbery figures. So what's the point of all this? So in April, Quickflix announced that it had 123,000 paying customers across its business. 70% of that number used Quickflix streaming rather than DVD rental, making it for over 85% of people paying for the company's service, streaming video on demand or pay-per-view services. That's right. Quickflix still has a model in its, you know, in its repertoire that still has you pay per view. So have fun with that. On May 6th of this year, a presentation to the Macquarie Australia conference says that gross sign-ups of Stan's were tracking to 200,000. Streaming service has previously mentioned growth targets were 300,000 to 400,000 by December of this year. Foxtel hasn't actually officially announced its subscriber base, by the way. And Netflix, well, Netflix doesn't say particular reasons. It just says 62% of million subscribers, with 20 million located in Australia. So, the question, not only the survey size of this study, but the age spread of respondents. We have no doubt an interest in streaming is growing, but no extra poll with 1 million-plus subscribers in Netflix based on a survey of 200 people doesn't hold up, Longsford questioned. And note that a valid credit card, you have to have a valid credit card and be 18 years old to subscribe, so yeah, there's that. So, what are the full facts? Well, you know, you gotta really, really say that Netflix is the dominating is the dominating thing. Whether you take these numbers with a grain of salt, or you actually take them for what they are. So, and you gotta actually have some perspective about them. You gotta sit here and you gotta stand here, sit here, whatever, and go, well, so you it's just I don't know. Surveys are one of those funny things where it's like, well, you can question them, you can question them all you want, but they do prove some things. They prove that Netflix can come in here, that can come in here and go, well, sure, Netflix does have 1 million subscribers, which it does. I believe it certainly does. And then Presto only has 90,000. I mean, I do believe that these other services are pumping up their numbers. And here's why. For my internet service provider, who shall remain nameless for the purposes of this conversation, constantly mail me, that's right, post mail me, offers to Stan and Presto. They say, oh, here, have 6 months free Presto and Stan, because they definitely want to get customers in, and it's not really proving anything particular. But it's, I mean, you kind of have to sit here and go, well, yeah, I mean, as accurate as these figures are, you kind of have to scratch your head and go, well, there is some validity to all of this. And it's kind of fair to say that these other streaming services need to pick their game up. And yeah, they are the only ones that are the clear leader. I mean, technically, the video on demand is lackluster, and this proves one other thing as well. This proves that Netflix is still the preferred choice in Australia. And I mean, say what you will about Netflix, they have a power, they have a brand power and have brand recognition. Hell, QuickFlix has been in this country since 2011, so that's carry the one, 4 years now. Yeah, I mean, it kind of, you have to kind of scratch your head and go, well, what have they haven't really appealed to the mass market, and that's their own fault. That's their own fault. So, I mean, you've been here for a long time. You didn't really have that many viewers before Netflix came along anyway. So it's really your own fault. So proving that, yes, Netflix is the preferred choice in Australia. Now, I have a 6 month offer for Stan and Presto, and I have no interest having no trying these services. Why? Because they haven't got any appeal to them. They haven't got the appeal that Netflix does for me. They're not doing original programming. They're not having the movies and the TV that I want. So, I mean, you can dispute the numbers all you want. The theory is still there, though. The theory of, well, yes, Netflix is dominant in the market, and you kind of have to, you kind of have to go with that. So, It's a big old tough world out there in the streaming world, and it's going to get a lot worse. And I mean, Netflix is just going to continually eat these, you know, other streaming services lunch. I wonder if they'll stream it too. I wonder if, you know. I mean, what if, you know, you can, you know, stream someone's lunch. I mean, that should stream someone's lunch. All right, so, and you do hear me clicking, clacking on the keyboard. I do apologize. It's a one-man show, what can I say? I can say that we got a lot more to get through with not much more time to get through it, unfortunately. So, I mean, there's not much more else to say on that, other than Netflix is still the preferred choice, and there's not really much you can do about it. Except for stream someone's lunch. Hey, you know, what else? I really wanted to come to talk to it about that. I know it's political. I know, I can't avoid myself, but not stay away from the political news. The political elephant in the room. I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't think we'd have that much time left. And we don't. We have about 2 minutes here to rant on this. But has anyone seen the Labour Party $30,000 website thing that they're trying to put together? No? Well, let me tell you more about it. I really want to get the story. I really want to get the story because it's hilarious. So the Labour Party really wants to create its own website, its own blogging platform for their policies and their own, you know, they want to share their view, they want to share views, and they want to express open, oh wait, did it not come through that they wanted $30,000 for it? Yeah, they want $30,000 on it, so, yeah, have fun with that. I think they're on Indiegogo, if my memory serves me correctly. Indiegogo. Let me look this up real quick. Indiegogo, crowdfunding on Indiegogo. Alright, there we go. And, yeah, they want $30,000 to create a blogging platform for the political party. So, they really, really want to go all out here. I mean, Indiegogo is fine and all, but, you know, you don't, when you're a political party, you should be really trying to do, should really be trying to kind of do things for the betterment of people, not, you know, trying to milk money from the general public. Where can I can't search on here. Labour Party. Let's see what comes up. Maybe I should say Australia. That might help. Nope, still not coming up. Fantastic. Dale just did a fail live on air. Fantastic. I swear it was in here somewhere. Oh, here it is. The Labour Herald, it is going to be called. And it's on, no, sorry, it's not on Indiegogo. I do apologize. Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. And it's funded too, by the way. It's on possible.com. And it has funded. So there you go. It has funded. So we are, it has funded. It's at 30,223 of its $30,000 goal. It's funded, dude. The Labour Party is getting its own blogging platform. Oh, Lord have mercy on all of our souls. So that's going to pretty much do it for this episode. We've run a little long, but that's okay because, you know, we do this show once a week. So, and I want to also go to the video because apparently we've got a... yes, well, Sam Ferguson, I have mentioned you. You were the shirts up there. Put your pillows up your shirt, guy. So, yeah, we'll never forget. That's going to do it for us. You know, it's 10:31, so we're gonna pop on out of here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. ChefWonderMedia.net/GLS for the site. What else? GeekDashio.net/GLS for the archive on the Geek.io network. What else do we have here? Let's see. gplus.to/genericliveshow, youtube.com/genericliveshow, and remember, patreon.com/geek.io. That's going to do it for us. Thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you all next week. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Listening to a program of the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwondermedia.net.
SFM, a Geek.io production.
Copyright 2015.
Geek.io.
Geek.
Geek and Geek.